Hello and welcome. My name is Noah and I am interviewing Donovan Simon, the host of What a Guan National Podcast, with my own co-host, Malia. Welcome to Simon Says Wagwan. What made you want to start What a Guan National?
The thinking was to connect with as many members of the community as possible. And prior to What a Guan, there was no digital format. And the view was, how do we connect more? So before What a Guan, there was a little thing we call connections or something. It was just a couple of videos, and the thinking behind it at the time was to help people moving to Calgary from Jamaica or the Caribbean to understand a little bit easier what that transition would require. Then we said, well, maybe this has a little bit more to it. And then we started What a Guan, which was primarily focused on local activity here in Calgary. The pandemic gave us the idea of going national because we worked with counterparts in Toronto, Montreal, Winnipeg, Vancouver, Nova Scotia on a few relief programs to support primarily students. And then they said What a Guan should represent all of us. And then it became What a Guan National.
So it started as just What a Guan and then turned into What a Guan National?
Yeah.
What challenges do you think Jamaican individuals living in Calgary face, like maintaining their cultural identity?
That's an interesting one. I don't know if challenge is the right word.
Yeah.
Every person who has left home to come to Calgary or to go anywhere wants to maintain some elements of home. And therefore, the question is, so how do they do that? But maybe even more importantly, who does that for them? And therefore, organizations like, you know, the Jamaican Association or any community association tends to have that as part of their mandate. And therefore, programs like What a Guan is just an extension of answering that question of, so how do we maintain elements of home while we're not at home? So if you've watched the program, you'll see, you know, we talk about Patwa words, or we have a spot, the place, so people can see things that are places they know and reminisce. We'll bring guests on that speak to things that are happening at home, which goes back to, you know, how do we maintain some degree of connection? Because having moved individually, people still connect, but as a collective, there's not necessarily always somebody curating that content to say, hey, here is a way to keep that connection.
So a similar question, what challenges have you personally faced while creating and promoting your podcast?
Well, you guys are students in broadcasting. Creating content is difficult. Doesn't matter what it is, even TikTok. And TikTok is just another platform. People have been trying to create content for a long time. The challenges, there's the administrative challenges, you know, booking time, getting people, finding the right person. There's the technical challenge, finding the right platform and connecting them so that it delivers what you want and the quality, whether it's of sound or video or stream quality. And then it's delivering consistently. I have people who sit up on a Friday evening and wait for What a Guan to start. And therefore, I have that expectation to fulfill, not just on all the technical pieces, but ensuring that there's a product that goes out there that those people enjoy. Call them challenges, I don't know. But it's a combination of things. I can tell you, you know, I've run into running a show and somebody loses internet connection, happens. I have done shows where somebody's late and, you know, we're hitting go live and they're not on. I've had circumstances where somebody has a lot of background noise because they didn't get to their quiet space in time. Pick the issues, but the show has to go on. And, you know, one of the things the producer always says is, 7 o'clock, we're going to hit go. What happens behind the scenes, nobody really knows, right? So.
You touched briefly on one of the challenges, in quotation marks, is finding guests for your podcast. So how do you find guests for Wadaguan?
So we had a planning team and somebody in charge of that element of the program. And we would build a calendar out for the entire year. And then we go through and say, okay, who do we think could fit? And we start canvassing those people, asking them, you use your network, you use just things you run into. So I'd possibly be watching a podcast and I see somebody that I think would fit a topic I have down the road. I reach out to them. So I've connected with people on Instagram, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and just say, hey, I do this program. Would you be interested? And I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, they've said yes. I've made friends. And then, of course, I return the favor in some cases, and I go on to their podcast or join their panel or something. But that's been it. You know, the community has been very supportive. So if I reach out, you know, so somebody like Brad, you know, I'd reach out and say, hey, would you join this? I can't do it this week. So 6 weeks down the road, we have a topic that particular person could fit. But it takes some effort because we were always keen on having a certain energy on the show. So we wanted, like in some cases, like we don't want this to be male dominated. So we're not going to have 2 male panelists, or we don't want it to be female dominated, or we don't want it to be age dominated, or stuff like that. So there are a range of different factors that went into the selection process. And once we've kind of identified what we're looking for, the team then just went out and helped find people for that.
What is your typical creative process when producing and making an episode?
Creative process make it sound like it's deeply scientific or something. The intent was that we wanted to create good content. We didn't want it to be scandals and gossip. And so we wanted it to be mature, adult, educational, informational, entertaining. So the creative process would include, you know, what are the words we're going to use in the script? So, you know, we'd look at some of that. The elements of the show, right? So, word of the day. What the intro looked like. So the things the host would say, what the banter would look like when we did the transition, what the ending would look like. So all of those elements would have been planned. So it's, you know, we wouldn't on random say the pato word of the day is X. We'd have sought that out. And similarly, the things that we would banter on are things that we would think would either be fitting for that week or that topic. Even the colors we wore. So there are a number of elements that would have gone into that creative side to give it a certain look, feel, sound, etc.
What story or experience have you heard from Jamaican Canadians that's stuck with you?
Stories about Wadaguan in particular?
Yeah.
I don't know if stories are the right things, but I was surprised at the level of connection people developed with the program. You know, when I started, it was a thing. Just, hey, you know, let's connect in this way. And then you kind of watched it grow legs, where there are people, like I said, you know, there was this guy, Bob and Bob Lilith. They were always there you know, entering some comments at the start, good evening, blah, blah, blah. And then when it got to the point where people were asking, especially when we were in off season, people are asking, when does Wataguan start again? You're like, oh, okay. It made connections. And then the other thing that I found really interesting was people relating to the content, right? So people started putting comments in, and there were times when the producer behind the scenes was like, oh my God, there's so many commands. Can't post all of them this week, right? Which said that people were engaged and people wanted to be a part of it. And then I think the other thing I found useful was our kind of a story where guests who afterwards would reach out and were so appreciative of the opportunity to be a part of it, which meant quite a bit to me, because I was like, well, you know, I'd usually in the brief say to them, you know, this is not CBC, it's not CNN, just relax and, you know, we're just going to have a chat. But they were so appreciative to share their story, so appreciative to put that out there and be a part of that connection. So, yeah, I think we did something positive, at least in delivering the program and connecting to people all over the place.
What are some of your aspirations for the podcast?
My aspirations, you know, the podcast eventually got to where, I don't know, we had people maybe in 30 countries showing up on our Google platform, or, you know, the Google Analytics, South Africa, Germany, the Netherlands, Trinidad, you know. So what started off us thinking was a little Canadian thing, Calgary thing, spreading out to other parts of Canada and Jamaica, became a thing that impacted Jamaicans all over the place. So the aspiration was, you know, how could we make that a staple and content that people can consume? The way I look at it is, I treat it like a piece of art or music created and can last forever. So that somebody could go back years from now and still hit YouTube or wherever and listen to a discussion on cancer, or listen to a discussion on protecting the environment or on voting or whatever. And for those who were a part of it to go back and, you know, I see people do that now, you know, I've seen people put that they've participated on Wataguan on their resume, right? To say, hey, you know, I was a part of this. So that's kind of where, you know, is it going to win an Emmy? Maybe not. but at least the content is there, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And, you know, if it sits out there on all these different platforms, who knows? It becomes a little bit of a residual. It's like creating good music and you're still getting royalties on it 10, 20 years later.
What feedback have you received from listeners about the podcast?
Lots of feedback. People love that it's educational and informational, but it's authentic, right? Still Jamaican, we're still Caribbean, we still talk our native language. We relate back to taking home and package it in a way that people in the diaspora, but also people in Jamaica or wherever who identify with Jamaica, can relate to and can connect to. People liked the energy, the personalities. So the host, you know, I've gotten numerous feedback of people loving Nicole or loving Shadrach or loving Shelley, you know. And simple things, you know, they liked, you know, in Jamaica we said the vibe. They liked the vibe that came across. People have given feedback about the topics we chose, how relevant they were, especially to our community, in breaking down the taboo around certain topics, but also adding an educational lens to something that otherwise was kind of high-level news that people didn't relate to. So yeah, those are, I'm going to say the main things we hear, you know, people love the vibe, Yeah, we made fun of it. We had a laugh. So yeah.